right, take your Bibles tonight, turn to Matthew 28. This evening. All right. Well, welcome to service tonight. And I did want to mention something. I forgot what it is now, but I'll remember here in a minute. But, all right, Matthew 28 tonight. So we're going to be introducing our series on how to disciple this evening. Been looking forward to this. This is part of our vision in the new year, rooted and built up in Christ. And the series will start next week and go for six consecutive weeks. So tonight is just an introduction, okay? Because everything we do as God's people ought to have a biblical basis for it. Amen. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is discipleship is not something new. You know, there are a lot of new books out there today. I've read a couple of them, started a couple of them. There's a lot of new books out there today on discipleship, some of them good, some of them not so good. But can I tell you something? That discipleship is not something new. It's as old as the Bible, and tonight we're going to look at original sources, the Word of God, and how we get our basis for discipleship and how we disciple other people. Many times we hear messages and we read books on being a disciple of Christ, following Christ, as we should. Amen. That's just something we all strive for. But how do we encourage someone else in the way? How do we take what we've learned and impart it into somebody else's life? How do we take what God has done in our life and invest it in people who need it? That's what the whole purpose of this series is. And the interest was so great, we were going to do a separate class on it, but pretty much everybody said, Pastor, we really want this, so that's why we're doing it on a Wednesday night. So we're going to jump right in here. I don't have a ton of time, but I'm going to try and get as far as I can tonight. Thank you. I need that, Isaiah. Appreciate it. For your service in the Lord, I appreciate that. All right. Matthew 28 this evening. So we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. Now you're thinking, preacher, oh, we're going to look at the Great Commission again. Okay, the Great Commission, can I say this, is the basis for a lot of what we do as a church. Because it was before Christ ascended, it was his last command to his disciples and his followers. And that, you know what they did? They went out and they preached the gospel and people were saved and nobody else was brought up in the Lord and Christianity died out. Well, that's not what happened, is it? They went and they preached the gospel and they discipled people. And so this command is just as much for them as it is for us today. And so this evening, I mean, I'm awake enough to be in the morning, all right? So I'm excited about this. I'll try and not talk too fast, Brother Holman, I know. I got going a little fast on Sunday night. I was up north with my people, okay? So I could go a little faster. So I've got to slow down a little bit. It's good to slow down a little bit, isn't it? It's good. Let's stand together. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Well, it depends on what you want to be slow, amen? All right, Matthew 28. Sorry, it's like, no, we don't want to go slow tonight. All right, Matthew 28, and then we're going to look at Colossians 2:7 as well. I'm not going to have you turn there because you haven't memorized, right? Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, and God's word says this, last two verses of the book of Matthew. Go ye therefore, and here it is, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we end the chapter there. No, it goes on, because we see the teach all nations right there. Now, Christ expands upon what he means in verse number 20, in case we would misunderstand. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, Colossians 2:7, we have that memorized. I'm going to read it because whenever I have it memorized, I misquote it. So, Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been, what? Taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, to abound in what we've been taught, but we have been taught, amen. We're here tonight because someone taught us something. Someone taught us the Word of God, whether it was myself or whether it was Pastor Harvey or whether it was a Sunday school teacher or someone that's at a different church somewhere, was your parents, was a teacher. Someone's taught you something about the Word of God and you've taken that, applied that, and you live by it now. That's wonderful. Now, how do you do the same? Someone else's life. And that's the purpose. So tonight we're going to look at how do I disciple? We're going to look at that as an introduction tonight. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray your blessing tonight. Pray that you give me clarity of thought. Lord, there's so much information in my mind right now. Lord, I pray you help me bring out exactly what needs to be brought out tonight. Help me to be clear. Help build a rock solid foundation for our discipleship, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to see the need. Help us not to just think, well, this is a good idea. This is good for some people. No, this is for everyone here tonight and everyone listening. I pray this evening that you give me wisdom, give me boldness, and Lord, that we would take to heart what we hear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How do I disciple? How do I disciple? Well, we first must look at this discipleship, okay? We're going to use the word discipleship or disciple. We're going to look at these definitions here in a moment. Not very extensive definitions because these are simple words. But we first look at number one. Why do we do this? Well, first is the command of discipleship. Number one, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to. The command of discipleship. We were just in Matthew 28. Let's go back over there. In verse 19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore." This is in the imperative mood. This is a command, not a suggestion. Let's go. Go and do this. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So we see a pattern here that you go and teach others what I have taught you. And we see the pattern of discipleship begins with Christ. And we're going to look at that extensively here in a moment. But in our passage, we see that it's commanded to teach. To teach what? Of course, doctrine. We hear the word doctrine and we get intimidated. Doctrine simply means truth. The truth of God's word, that's what we teach. The truth of the gospel. The truth of the virgin birth of Christ. The truth of sin. Amen. We need to be teaching that. And also not only the doctrine, the truth, but also to have faith in that truth. To take that truth and make it a part of their life. To trust on Christ for salvation. To follow in believer's baptism as it commands here, to take that step of obedience and faith. Now, baptism doesn't save, but it is a picture of what Christ has done in your life and an identification. I am a Christian. It is a testimony. It said, I identify with Christ. That's a step of faith for someone to do that. But not only that, to then apply application what Christ is teaching them through a teacher. Through his word, yes, but teachers are also needed. We'll see that in just a moment well in Ephesians 4. But also how to live pleasing to God. When we look at the New Testament, we see all of these things. We see doctrine. We see faith. We see application. And we see how to be pleasing to God. And that is so important. That is discipleship in a nutshell. And Paul was disputing, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul was disputing with the Corinthians about tongues and spiritual gifts and proclaimed that he was giving the commands of God. As I'm giving you some instructions, I'm teaching you what God would desire for you. In 1 Corinthians 14, 37, he says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So this isn't some suggestion. These are what God commands and God instructs. He was teaching them. And as Jesus ascended up into heaven, this final command was given, and it has not been rescinded, has it? There's nowhere in the say that, well, do this until the certain church age comes around, or until this happens, or this. No, it said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? Let's be honest. We've done really well with preaching the gospel and seeing people saved. But can I say this? In a society that is depending less on personal relationships, discipleship is going more and more by the wayside. But can I tell you this? The only way baby Christians are rooted and grounded in the Lord is through people that disciple. And our church, it is our goal and our job to disciple others. And I know currently we are. And I'm thankful for that. But I want to see the discipleship ability and the discipling ability of our church grow. And not be just certain people, but that everyone has a burden. And I know everyone's at different stages in their spiritual walk with the Lord. But that's okay. We all can be a part
of discipling people. Discipling isn't just for the pastor, even though that is what I do. To be honest, what I'm doing to you right now and teaching you, I'm discipling you right now through the preaching of God's word. That's a way discipleship can happen, is through preaching. But it's not the only way, nor should it be. We see that, now, let's look at a definition. Well, what is this word discipleship? What is a disciple? We hear this, maybe have some weird pictures in your head of what disciple means. In the noun form, it's two words, a noun form and a verb form, okay? Noun, person, place, thing, or idea. Means simply a follower. An adherent to the doctrines of another. That's all disciple means. We're followers. We adhere to the doctrines of Christ. We are Christians. We are disciples of Christ. In the verb tense, it means to teach, to train, to bring up, as an apprentice would, our teacher would bring up an apprentice to teach them those things. When we teach someone, when we teach our children, in the sense of we are discipling them in the things of how to live this life, right? We teach them how to write. We teach them how to read at times, or the school does. We teach them how to tie their shoes. We teach them not to lie. We teach them to be honest. We teach them to work hard. We're training them and bringing them up. That's why Jesus and the Lord gives us this picture of babes in Christ. That they need to be trained and brought up and how to win the spiritual victory and teach them the promises of the Lord. But here's the problem. I wonder why we see a decline in discipleship today. Is it maybe because perhaps we don't have as much depth as we need to be as God's people? Is that the reason why? Because we're afraid to teach somebody else because maybe we haven't learned the lessons we need to learn first. But many times we look at that and say, well, and the devil will love to come. Well, you're not qualified to bring anybody along. You're not qualified to do that. It's interesting. If you read some of these prayer letters of some of these missionaries, you'll see these people, some of them are been saved 4, 5, 6 months, and they're discipling people. Why? Because they've grown spiritually. We know those that are mature in the faith, they have grown spiritually. We sometimes put a timeline on that. There are people that grow sometimes a little slower, and they're a little harder to teach. Maybe they're a little more stubborn. But then there are certain people, they just give all to the Lord and boom, they're off like a rocket. And they're just growing. And guess what? They disciple people because, you know what? This is what I've learned. I just want to share it. How do we do that? That's what the purpose of the series is. It's simple yet powerful. It's a simple yet powerful word, disciple. So let's look at, too, the method of discipleship. Look no further than the example of Christ and his ministry. We see several methods of discipleship. Paul patterned everything he did after Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He said, I am discipling you. Follow me as I follow Christ. I am a follower of Christ. I am a disciple of Christ. He has taught me, and I'm teaching you to follow him. Because sometimes we get afraid. Well, someone's going to be following my example. Yes, that's how it works. That's how we teach people. They follow it, so you better give a good one. Sometimes we get intimidated by that. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? We're not going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we should have a good testimony. It matters. People are going to follow you as you teach them. That's a powerful position to be in. Be humble. Don't abuse that. But make sure every last principle that you are teaching them, number one, is real in your life. Amen. And is found in the Bible. Too many times, this is what I have trouble with, that you read some discipleship books and you look at things and they have some great Bible doctrines in there, but they get into a bunch of things that the Bible doesn't say. And they start getting into areas that the Bible doesn't teach on, that maybe some extra biblical things. And they're good things, but they say, well, the Bible says this when it really doesn't. We got to be careful that everything we give a baby Christian is from the Bible. Solid, solid, solid. Amen. Because what happens is then they begin to build on that and they get 10 years down the road and they find out, well, that was something that was extra biblical that wasn't found in the Bible. They took your word for it and you can cause them damage. So make sure that you, and if you're teaching them that, said the Bible doesn't say this, but this is maybe based on biblical principle and it's wise. So make sure you can teach them those things, but make sure you're not saying, well, it's in there somewhere. If it's in there, you better have a chapter and verse and show them where it is. Don't build someone up on your personal opinions. That's dangerous. We must build upon the Word of God. But let's look at Christ's discipling. How did he do it? Well, we see examples all through the Bible. Of course, the first and main one he did was through preaching, Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He was teaching them all kinds of things about how to live, didn't he? Taught them the doctrine of how to treat one another, how to love God, honesty, marriage. He taught on all of it in a sermon. I mean, talk about a shotgun sermon. But he was discipling. He was teaching them. He was bringing them up as of now. Preaching is a form, is an avenue, a conduit of discipleship. If you're coming to church and you're growing, you're being discipled. You're being taught to follow Christ through the preaching of the Word of God. Another way was teaching. You see, many times after he would preach or he would use a parable, he would sit down with the disciples and ask them, do you understand what I just said? You know, did you understand that? And they're like, oh, sure. No, and then some, no, the one said, no, we didn't get that at all. And then he'd tell them, especially the parable of the sower and the seed. He said, do you understand what I taught, what I'm saying here? Like, no, Lord, we don't understand. And so he taught them, discipled them, this is what this means. This is what this example means. This is what this heart condition means. They use parables. So, well, a parable is a big word. Illustrations. Illustrations are powerful. He used illustrations. Earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. They're illustrations. And he used illustrations to help bring those things into focus that perhaps are hard to understand. He also taught, discipled collectively in large groups of people and in small groups of people. The group of disciples was only 12. That's a small group. You know, ever see that? They have small group time. Like, oh, they're Southern Baptist. Okay, because they have small group time and everything. Can I say the small group is biblical? Because Christ did it. That's what Christ did. He taught in small groups. Why is that? It's because he could give personal attention and answer personal questions. That's important. Okay, I said, well, now we're going to go to small group time. Now, no, we're not doing that. I'm just saying, don't think, oh, that's a new evangelical. No, it's actually biblical to teach in a small group. That's why we have the SOS activities. That's why I have teen activities. They're sitting around my living room. What do you think about this? And they're like, oh, should we say it? You know, do you understand? You know, sometimes I do that. Don't I? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. They do, and they do, and we have great discussions. We've had, we've had some interesting discussions over the years. You know, but it's important to hear what people are thinking to see if they understand what you're saying and understand what the Bible is saying. That's important. This is my job and my burden as a pastor, that people understand what I preach, that people understand the Word of God, that people are getting it. The greatest joy a pastor can have, at least for this pastor, when the light bulb goes on, ah, I get it. I understand. That's my heartbeat, and that's my burden. And that's why it's important for all of us to be able to teach others to do this. Then also, Christ did one-on-one at times. Talked to Peter individually. Talked to others individually at times. Called them individually, follow me. And they did. All these methods, they're all methods Christ used and used them for different purposes. Now, some of these, like preaching and teaching, are reserved, preaching is reserved for pastors and teachers. Others are within the ability of everyone, okay? But some of them are for, like preaching is for those qualified for the ministry and qualified to preach and qualified to teach. Others, like in smaller groups or one-on-one, you're able to, everyone's qualified to do that if you love the Lord. So Christ invested time into the life of his disciples. He loved them. He cared for them. He was patient with them, wasn't he? Oh, I mean, he was patient with Peter. He was patient. You know, he was patient with them when they didn't understand. I mean, how, you know, we look at them and, you know, he's telling them that he's going to be crucified, he's going to rise again, and they don't get it. And you're like, what's wrong with you guys? He's telling you, right? He's telling you. And then you see what happens. Like, man, can I tell you something? How many times did we just not see it? Amen. Then one day someone came along and taught us and we got it. Amen. We don't get it all at once. Sometimes we don't get it the first time around or the second time or the third time or the fifth time or the 10th time or the 20th or the 30th time. But you know what? Christ was patient. At time he rebuked them. You're not thinking right on this. Peter, get behind me, Satan. Ooh, that's a rebuke right there. What is he saying? He's saying he's literally Satan. No, that he was allowing Satan to be, he was allowing himself to be Satan's mouthpiece to deter him because Satan was trying to deter him from going to the cross. He said, no, I'm going to go forward and you get behind me. Rebuked them. Rebuked others at times for foolishness in their thinking. At other times he encouraged them, told them the Comforter was coming. He taught them to disciple others. And after he taught them for a time, what did he do? He sent them out two by two to go and preach the gospel and disciple others. He is the example. Also, we must meet the needs of those that we disciple. John 13, turn over there, John 13. Going to try and get all through this tonight and get to prayer this evening. John 13, verses 4 through 20. This is what happens when you think on a message for a month. And then you get like, we got to get through all this. John 13, beginning in verse number 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are all not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, here it is, this is a lesson time, he asked them, Know ye what I have done to you? All right, what I just did, did you get what I just did? Did you understand that? You call me master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So this is what's going on here. I said, you know, if you're going to bring people along, you must be a servant leader to serve others, to meet the needs of others. And he met their need. What is the idea? Humility is a must. You do not have a corner on truth. God does. Nobody has a corner on truth. God does. God has that packed away for all of eternity. Amen. Oh, do we believe that? I mean, well, I have special knowledge. No, you don't. Only God has all knowledge. You do not have the wisdom. God does. You do not have the patience. God does. Well, that's why, Pastor, you just said it exactly. That's why I can never disciple anybody. I've never been a good teacher. I've never been patient. I'm not. And that makes me, Pastor, that's why I'm not good for discipling. Wonderful. Now you can be a student and let Christ teach you how to be patient. Let Christ teach you how to teach. Let Christ teach you how to have wisdom. Let Christ teach you how to grow. When we teach someone, we grow as well. Amen. Isn't that the truth? You ever teach somebody and said, man, that was just a blessing to me. You know, maybe they didn't get it, but I sure got it. You know, praise the Lord, right? You know, sometimes when I was doing discipleship last year, I'm like, man, you know, that was just encouraging. That was great. I hope they got it, but, you know, it was just, man, just a blessing, you know. And that's what is supposed to be. Humility is a must. We shouldn't get so familiar. Oh, yeah, I've got this. I know how to do this. I've got the book. I've got the what's next step, one, lesson one. Got it memorized. Let's go in. No, you always need the Lord. You always need the Lord. Mark 13:11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought before in what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak with the Holy Ghost. So as Jesus is saying, when they were giving up for persecution, they were going to be put before the lions and the gladiators. It said, don't worry about what you're going to speak. I'll give you the words to speak in that time. I said, well, preacher, I'm not one of those people. I don't speak well. I'm just not one of those people. Don't you think that if God will do that for those who are about to be put to death for the faith, that he will do that for you when you're teaching others? He will. Amen. And some of some people's personalities that are here, maybe you can do a small group. Maybe you can teach a lesson. Maybe you're going to be an individual one-on-one person. Okay? I like working on people one-on-one. You know what I love? I love going and visiting somebody, whether it's a bus family or somebody that they want, they have a need, and I go and I sit there and I talk to them about that need. And I said, well, let me tell you about Christ and how to be saved. I love that. Love doing that. That's a whole lot better than knocking on a door and having a cold call right there. Sometimes you get, you don't know what kind of response you get. They're expecting you, okay? I love that. That's easy. All right? That, if I had it all the time, I would love that all the time because I love, and you know what? That is where I've seen most of my soul winning success, in that area, because I'm comfortable with that. But guess what? That doesn't mean that I just do it only that way. I must be flexible. I must know how to do it in all areas, in all situations, and God will use that. So number three, what's the goal of discipleship? Very quickly, and then we'll be done tonight. What is the goal? Well, we'll be referencing Ephesians 4 as we go through this. So let's turn to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 11 through 15. Ephesians 4. And Ephesians 4 is really interesting as we study it. I'm not going to get into it all tonight, but we're going to be looking at this, referencing it several times throughout our study, because it is a progression of what we're to be taught, our salvation, what our salvation's rooted in, what our doctrine is rooted in, and then what God does in our life, putting away that which is old, putting on the new man, and then the fruit that comes. That's what discipleship is. Teaching people that what they have in Christ, because they don't know. They know they're saved. They know they're going to heaven. There's more to it than that. Amen? There's more to it. There's the fruits of the Spirit that are there. There are the blessings and the riches in Christ Jesus. You need to teach them those things. I mean, if all we have is salvation, we need to be thankful, amen. But there's much more. Christ could have left it at salvation, but he didn't. Gives us so much. The person of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide of all wisdom. It's exciting. And too many times in a lot of churches in our country today, they're never taught what those things are. You're saved, do, but never why. Need to know why. And need to know what Christ can do in our life. So the two main, there's key insights. There's two main ones we're going to look at tonight. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors. Yes, even this pastor. And teachers for the, why? Why? Why did he get, why? I don't need to go to church. You know, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a teacher. I can learn the Bible all on my own. Well, what did God say? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Perfecting means teaching. Discipleship. Perfecting has the idea of being complete and mature. You need someone to teach you. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a big statement, and that's a series of messages right there. The stature and fullness of Christ. That's the riches we're talking about. That we henceforth, here it is, be no more children. Need to grow. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head even Christ. What's the purpose of apostle, which we don't have that office any longer, but in this time there was. We see the pastors and teachers and those that disciple. What's the purpose? So you can grow. Because is it not that we protect our children? Because they can be deceived, can't they? They are gullible. Children are gullible. Bless the Lord. Thank the Lord for children that they can accept the gospel of Christ and be saved and have such true and genuine faith in Christ. But guess what? If the wrong voice gets a hold of them and the wrong teacher gets a hold of them and the wrong influence gets a hold of them, guess what? They start believing that. And don't we protect them from that? We're not good parents if we're not protecting them. I'm sorry. But we protect them and we take that step. And guess what? Pastors are here and teachers are here. Disciplers are here to protect you from the error. Guess what? You can find error today in about half a second. Just open up Google and put in religion. And they're going to get a King James Bible and fundamental Baptist doctrine. No, sirree, they're not. They're going to get every mystical Buddhist, Hindu, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, false doctrine, twisted around Wiccan, anything out there, twisted around, and guess what? And every YouTube video and preacher or whatever, I only call it teacher of whatever, that's what they're going to get out there. You know what you need to tell them? Hey, we need to go to the Bible, the Word of God. Oh, and the assault on the Bible is so complete and so devastating to a baby Christian. Oh, we need to get them grounded and ground them quick so that they be no more children tossed to and fro. Oh, I heard this over here. You know, it's so precious. Now, there are times that, you know, baby Christians come up and like, oh, Pastor, I found this book at the store. You know, they don't realize it's a Mormon book, but, you know, they come up, oh, that's great. And I say, well, that's one of them. They have a genuine desire. Ever have your children come up to you, Mommy, Daddy, look at this. This is so beautiful. That's a rosary. No, you know, it's something bad. And like, oh, well, thank you so much. Well, let's just leave that there. You know, and let's leave that there. This is not a good thing, okay? You know, this is a pretty bottle, Mom. Look at this. You'd love this under this wine. We don't do that, okay? Because children don't know. They're not saying, Mom and Dad, let's go guzzle some down. Okay, they're not saying that. What are they saying? Oh, they just see it's pretty, but they don't understand what it is. We do, so we teach them. So be patient with young converts, amen. They don't always know everything. Like, oh, that's terrible, you know, then they feel embarrassed, and they guess what, they won't ask you a question again after that. But you know, oh, okay, we'll look at this, and like, when then as they grow, so you know what, preacher, remember that book I brought you like 4 years ago? Yes, you know what, I shouldn't have done that, should I? No, but you are so patient with me. Amen, that's the important thing, patience. I can't stress that enough, patience. But not so the goal here, what is it? Maturity, spiritual maturity. That's the goal of discipleship. The second is verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, okay, Pastor, you went through that really fast. What does that mean? Make you an effective servant. That when you are built up and you are matured in Christ, you are unified together. When you have a church full of mature Christians that are working together for the sake of the ministry, God is going to be able to do great things with that church. God is going to be able to do great things in that group. But what happens, the church is only as strong as its weakest member. There are churches, especially young churches, that they're going forward, but then things begin to have schisms there. Isn't that what happened to the church of Corinth? Why? Because some people were not mature in the Lord and started getting off doctrinally. Why? Because they stopped listening to the preacher. They stopped listening to Paul. They stopped listening to Apollos. They stopped listening to Peter. But if we listen and we grow, then God makes us effective servants. That's the whole purpose. To go out and see that replicated. To produce faithful, fruitful, stable servants of the Lord. That's what God wants. Who will in turn produce faithful, fruitful, and stable servants of the Lord. And if this does not take place, then the body of Christ begins to die and to suffer. An example. Here's the example here. So let's start out tonight with just a quick example, but an illustration tonight before we're done. So let's start out with three people in this church right now, in this auditorium right now, that are discipled in the Lord. Okay, there are three people. And they're brought along and discipled, and then they get to a place, and those three people, and you know what I'm going to do? Reach three other people. Then those three people reach and disciple three more people. That's nine. So you start out with three, now you have nine. Then those nine people reach and disciple three more people. Well, that's 18. Then those 18 people reach and disciple three more people. That's 54. Then those 54 people reach and disciple three more people. That's 162. And that is just one cycle. Let's say every 2 years that happens. In 10 years, that's five cycles. That's 810 people. Just 1% at a time. Three people a year. Amen. Can I say that? I will say this. That's just an example of how far the reach of just three people can have. But let's be honest, there's more than three people who can disciple somebody in our church right now. There's many more than that. There are many of you that have been saved for many years. I will say this, that one thing I was impressed with when I was traveling in several of the churches is the great activity of the senior saints. Man, it was crazy. We were at the we were actually at the couple sweetheart banquet and Mount Zion Baptist Church, Chris Starr's church there, and we were sitting there. We're sitting at the table with Pastor Starr and different ones, and I said, "Oh, we got to get." We're talking to this older couple, really nice people. They're probably in their 70s, mid to late 70s. And just really nice people. And then say, well, you know, I'm going to have our activities coordinator come on up. You know, I'm accepting somebody like, you know, our age, you know, exciting. It's this lady, she's 75 years old, and she gets up. Man, she does a crack-up job with those games. And just was hilarious. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. And I tell you what, after watching that church, there is a whole group. They're in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Man, they're just serving the Lord, loving the Lord. They weren't sitting in a pew waiting to die. They were just blessing everybody. They were helping. They were just doing what they could do. Some of them had physical limitations, but they were doing what they can do. I was just like, wow, praise the Lord for that. And I'm thankful we have people like that in our church. Hey, Ben, you struggle through pain and health issues, and you're just a blessing to everybody. Keep it up. Keep it up. Please do that. And let that be an example. You know what? And that is a testimony, and I thought about it. That is a testimony of Dr. Randy Starr pastoring that church for 30 years. He built the people like that. Praise the Lord. By the way, discipleship is not a short-term thing. It is a long-term thing. It's long-term, and you'll see the fruit of it for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. Isn't that what the Harveys are seeing? Many of you that are faithful in the church right now, Pastor and Mrs. Harvey brought you along and discipled you. And now you're here. And now you're doing it in other people's lives too. So tonight, are you willing to hear the command of God tonight of discipleship? God wants to use you in a very special way. And it's exciting to lead others to Christ and to lead others as Christ has led you, to teach them what lessons God has taught you. God will use your experiences and your struggles, and God will give you the power to see people grounded in the faith. He'll do that. Don't you want to be a part of that? Amen. I hope you do, and you can be. So let's pray about that, and let's be good students over the next 6 weeks. Say, Lord, how do I do it? I'm just saying, what we're going to be learning is nothing earth-shattering. I have no new knowledge. It's as old as the Bible. But we're going to learn some principles that we need to have in our life if we're going to be faithful and going to be effective in reaching people. Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing this evening. I pray that you would guide us, Lord, in this time. And Lord, as we come to our prayer time this evening, I pray that you would guide and direct us, Lord, and help us to be effective disciples, Lord. I pray that perhaps tonight some that they have had a burden on their heart, Lord, I pray they make a decision tonight. That you've burdened their heart with this area of discipleship, that there are people that are in their life that they have a relationship with, that they can disciple, people they can witness to. Whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray that we would just dedicate this time to you. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.